Shop the Sherwin-Williams July Summer Sale and get 30% off paints and stains July 18th through the 28th. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Moon landings everywhere. Bob Zimmerman is here. Keeps the website Behind the Black. His month of February was Happy Birthday, Bob Zimmerman. We're now into March. We've got moon landings in all directions. We got SpaceX always imminent. And Bob, good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Yes, my February fundraiser for Behind the Black is now over. And as always, I have to thank your listeners deeply for their gracious support. I've been doing this with you, John, for what, 20 plus years?
Decades. Enough, Bob, yes.
And I, for them to come through and support my what I'm doing, I really appreciate it. So thank you to all your listeners. Yep, lots of things going on. Let's talk about lunar
landings.
All right,
let's go to the surface of the moon. Blue Ghost. What am I looking at?
Yes. Yes, you're looking. I have a great picture from Blue Ghost. This is taken just after landing. It's looking at the Earth, at the horizon of the moon, and the shadow of Blue Ghost on the moon. The thing landed, so this is looking west. The thing landed at sunrise, so the sun is directly behind on the horizon, and so that's why you see the shadow, the elongated shadow going off into the distance. It is designed to work for the full lunar day, which is 14 days long. That's why they landed at sunrise, so they have maximum time on the surface. It also gives them good shadows so that the computer on the lander has a good, it can detect the craters and objects and avoid them, which it successfully did. So Blue Ghost, as far as I'm concerned, is the first successful commercial private spacecraft to land on the moon. There have been several other attempts. The closest successful attempt private was by Intuitive Machines, Odysseus lander a year ago. It did land and communicate back to the Earth, but it landed too fast, fell over when one of its legs broke from the impact, from the landing. So even though it was a partly successful, it wasn't able to do any of the science it was supposed to do. So this is the first. It's operating. All 10 instruments are working. They're starting to deploy it. In fact, today I just posted a great picture, well, it's a fascinating picture, of Blue Ghost on the surface taken by Lunar Reconnaissance Orbiter in orbit. It's only a dot and a little shadow, but they will pick it up and they now know exactly where it landed, and it's in the middle of Mare Crisium, which is on the near side of the moon, on the upper right quadrant when you look at the moon, and it's one of those dark mare areas. And so that's it. It's working. It's successful, John. So that's one. Secondly, on March 6th, Intuitive Machines, I should point out, I'm sorry, it was Blue Firefly's Blue Ghost lander yesterday that landed. Intuitive Machines is launching has launched Athena to the moon, and it's going to land tomorrow at 12:30 p.m., hopefully, and I have a link on Behind the Black for the live stream. What's interesting about this lander, it's Intuitive Machines is making its second attempt to land, and this lander is going to land closest to the South Pole as anyone else. I have a map on Behind the Black. It's only going to land about 100 miles away from the South Pole. It's going to land where the Viper rover was originally supposed to go, on a plateau, semi-relatively flat plateau called Mons Mutan. And it's going to land, hopefully, near a crater that has permanently shadowed interior. Now, the rover Viper was supposed to go into that crater, but it's been canceled. So they picked Athena to land in this spot because it's carrying with it an engineering test of a hopper called Grace. So they're going to, if it lands successfully, Grace will hop into that crater and then hop out again with data. So this is a cool thing, and so that's that. And third lander, John, is iSpace's Resilience lander, which launched from the same Falcon rocket that launched Blue Ghost. It's taking a longer route to the moon, but this week the company iSpace, it's a private Japanese lander, they announced June 6th as its landing date, and it's going to land on the moon on the near side visible to us, near the north. And so we've got another lander coming, John, so it's exciting times on the moon.
And, Bob, I want to especially celebrate Firefly because I've seen a picture of their launch room, their command center.
Yeah.
They've got the SpaceX style, Bob. This is the future. They consider themselves in a science fiction novel in some fashion. They're ready to go to Mars. Firefly is also in Texas, I believe. Is that correct?
That's correct. It's a Texas company, correct.
Smart.
Its story is fascinating because they went into bankruptcy. They were saved by a Ukrainian billionaire. He was forced out by the State Department, but the company kept going. And it's invigorated itself. It's now one of the most successful startups around. It's amazing.
SpaceX, yes, always in the news. Musk being applauded by the Democratic and Republican tech bros, not the members of Congress, the tech bros, celebrating Musk, celebrating everything that's going on. Suddenly the tech bros are part of the story of the future. Now, SpaceX, headed by the tech bro of all time. Where is it, Bob? It was supposed to launch days ago.
Yes, the eighth orbital test launch of SpaceX's gigantic Starship Super Heavy rocket. Supposed to take place earlier this week. At T-minus 40 seconds, they went on a hold. They have a new approach to launch countdowns. They don't do a hold when a problem comes up. They let the countdown proceed. They had a problem, some issue with the Super Heavy a booster that they appeared to get fixed, but because they were still working that issue, they stopped the T-minus 40 seconds, and they seemed to have it resolved, but then an issue came up with Starship. And at that point, they decided to call it a day. They scrubbed the launch. They know they can turn things around very quickly, so why rush the launch with an issue hanging, even if they get it fixed? Let's take a day or two away to really check things out and make sure we got things right. So that's what they did. They're now scheduled to launch tomorrow, March 6th, at 5:30 p.m. Central. I've got a live stream embedded on Behind the Black if people want to watch. As Musk says, be prepared for excitement. They're going to once again try to catch Super Heavy in the chopsticks. They're going to be testing Starship. They're going to try to do the Steiner test they couldn't do in the previous mission because Starship was lost right after stage separation. They're going to try to deploy dummy Starlink satellites to test the deployment system. They're going to be testing thermal system with or without tiles. They're going to restart the Raptor engines in orbit to see if that will work. And they've done that before. It should work. That's to prepare for full orbital flights where they'll need to do a burn to come back to Earth. So prepare for excitement, John, tomorrow.
Falcon 9 lost the first stage. How many times had it been up before they lost it?
This was on its fifth flight, John. It is actually fascinating. One of my readers commented on Behind the Black. You know, it is interesting that SpaceX, it's news now when they lose a first stage, not when they re-land one. And because they re-land them now so routinely. So this was a launch earlier this week. They were putting up Starlink satellites. The first stage returned to Earth. It landed on the drone ship successfully in the Atlantic Ocean. But then after landing, there was a fire in the aft end of the rocket that damaged one of the legs, and it resulted in it tipping over and falling. They will, of course, use this information to figure out what happens to prevent that from happening again and make the rocket more reliable. But it is interesting that a failure like this is rare, and therefore that makes it new. The landing has become so routine, John, as you say. It's like the bus coming to your stop in Manhattan. You know, you don't even think about it.
Rocket Lab is following the barge recovery. Is that correct? Have they done this before?
No, they have not done this. This is with their new Neutron rocket. They are under development. They are planning to launch Neutron for the very first time this year. They're holding to that schedule, though there have been reports that they're going to be delayed. And they could be delayed, but they're aiming for this year right now. And Neutron is intended to be reusable like Falcon 9. Its first stage will come vertical and land. And they unveiled late last week their modified barge that they've purchased on which Neutron will land. and I got a graphic, an artist's representation of what this would look like. They have to modify the barge, but that means they're just moving forward. They're getting close to doing this. And, you know, they're one of the most successful startups, rocket companies. They launch a lot with the Electron rocket, and now they're coming with a bigger rocket called Neutron.
All right, so this one is complicated. What is Varda?
Varda is a startup that focuses on launching capsules into orbit that stay in orbit for a period of time, and in that capsule you can do manufacturing and research, make money. The key area of research is pharmaceuticals, because it's been known now for almost 40 years that there are some pharmaceutical medicines that can be produced in weightlessness properly. They can't really be made as effectively on Earth in the gravity, and therefore they have value. You can make money on this. There was actually McDonnell Douglas was trying to do this on the shuttle before the Challenger accident. When the Challenger accident happened, that was shut down by the government. No more commercial operations on the shuttle. So Varda launches capsules. It launched its second capsule two months ago, and last week that second capsule returned from orbit successfully. It landed in the Coomba Range in southern Australia. That's a private launch facility, and they've recovered it. So they're moving forward. This is a new profit center in the cottage industries in orbit, John.
Astroforge's Odin spacecraft, probably lost. This is new to me.
Yeah, when it launched Intuitive Machines, Athena landed to the moon about a week and a half ago. There were two other missions that were going planetary. One was Astroforge's Odin spacecraft. It was going to fly past a metal asteroid, to do reconnaissance and photography and data gathering. Astroforge wants to mine asteroids, and so this was going to be the first test flight of a private company to begin the operations of asteroid mining. Unfortunately, they had problems after it was launched. It started to tumble. They had trouble communication, and they basically lost power, and it looks like it's dead. The second spacecraft that launched on that Falcon 9 rocket was a NASA low-cost lunar orbiter called Lunar Trailblazer. Lunar Trailblazer was supposed to orbit the moon and map the places where they think water might be, to get a much better sense of what kind of resource might be on the moon. Shortly after launch, they had power and communications problems. I've heard nothing good since, so I think this spacecraft was lost as well, and that's unfortunate, John.
Bob, a detail about landing on the moon. Is there money in that? Some of these companies have NASA money that starts them off. Are there contracts waiting for them?
Oh, yes. NASA puts payloads on them. Sometimes it buys the whole payload, like it did with Blue Ghost. But other times it puts some instruments on, buys some space, but the company is free to sell their remaining space to others, and they are definitely getting business. There's no question of it. Like iSpace, the Japanese company, it has not yet launched any NASA payloads. It's been doing engineering test flights, but it has payloads on board, customers. And they have gotten contracts with NASA, and so do these other companies. They get NASA contracts, but they are open to get other contracts. And there is a demand, a low-cost demand, to get payloads to the lunar surface that's coming from other places besides NASA.
Power and communications. Starlink is very controversial now because it's attached to Elon Musk, which is all wrapped up into geopolitics. But you have a Starlink story. What's happened, Bob?
This is in the Falkland Islands. The Falkland Islands government had serious communication regulations that prevented citizens from buying Starlink terminals and using them on the island. A lot of people were doing it illegally. So there was a major, major grassroots campaign, petitions, political pressure to get the government to change the rules so people could buy Starlink. This was especially the case because the system they have was not very good. They had very little internet access. And the government made a deal with OneWeb to provide it, but OneWeb, after 2 years, hadn't provided it yet. And so after all this pressure from the public, the government in the Falkland Islands has changed the rules to allow customers to buy Starlink terminals on the island. And this is just competition. If OneWeb can't do it, and if the communication company on the ground can't do it, then someone else can do it, and competition brings it to us all.
Hypersonic research, to what end? Where are they going?
This is an interesting story. There's a company called Polaris Space Planes that's trying to develop, using an aerospike engine, a reusable space plane that could launch like an airplane or maybe on a rocket, but then land on a runway. And they have now won a contract from the German military to develop their space plane to do hypersonic tests. This is similar to what Rocket Lab is doing for the military here. It's similar to what Strata Launch is trying to do for the military here. This is an example of using a space plane to test hypersonic return from space, John, for hypersonic missiles. And so they want a contract. They're looking forward.
Bob Zimmerman, surrounded by moon landings.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.